You know, I think today's gospel reading would truly hit home with many people in our culture today. And yet, I'm afraid that most of those people would totally and completely miss the point of today's gospel reading. You see, even though today's gospel reading is about a rich man who ignores a poor, sick, starving man near his home, the point of today's gospel reading is not that rich people are bad and deserve to go to hell, and that poor people are good and deserve to go to heaven. Why do I say that? Well, first of all, please understand, even though it is a wonderful thing to use the wealth that God has given you to help the poor and needy of this world, and even though God teaches that we should help the poor and needy of this world, we must remember that helping poor people is not a work that makes us worthy of salvation. Nor is being poor and needy in and of itself mean that God will bring you to heaven when you die and compensate you for all the misfortune you had in this life. That's not how it works. Again, why am I saying all this? Well, many people in our culture today would read our gospel reading for this morning and conclude that it's about class warfare. That's right, they'd read our gospel reading and they'd think that this is about how God favors those who have low income but hates those who are on the top 1% of society and, of course, very rich. In fact, here's how people think today. If you are poor, if you live paycheck to paycheck, or if you live on welfare, then God's heart goes out to you, and when you die, you will be compensated with peace and prosperity in heaven. However, if you are rich, if you have many possessions, if you have money in the bank, then God hates you, and when you die, you will get what you deserve, eternity in hell. That's how many people today would read our gospel reading. But is that the point of today's gospel reading? I hope not. You see, if that is the point of today's gospel reading, then let me tell you, even low-income Americans are in huge trouble. Why do I say that? Because even Americans who live on welfare are filthy rich compared to countless masses who live in third world countries. We forget that. But my friends, the fact is that it doesn't really matter what your economic status is, because Scripture clearly teaches that your standing with God does not depend on your economic status in this life. In fact, you don't need to be rich in order to be in bondage to greed. There are many poor people who are greedy and self-centered. And there are many rich people who are charitable and good stewards of God's money and who give generously to church. If you read your Bible, you will find evil rich people, to be sure, but you will find also evil poor people as well. In the same way, you will find poor people who are good and trust in God, but you will also find rich people who are good and who trust in God and are good stewards of His wealth and again give generously to church and charity. Therefore, my friends, your economic status has absolutely nothing to do with your relationship with God. However, if that's true, then what is the point of today's gospel reading? Well, if you recall last Sunday's gospel reading, you will remember how Luke explained that the Pharisees loved money. But why did they love money? Not merely because they were greedy, they were, but they also loved money because in their theological way of thinking, money was a sign to them that God was impressed with their performance. Here's how the Pharisees and many other Jews of Jesus' day thought. They thought like this. If you obey God's commandments to the best of your ability, and if you sin as little as possible, then God will be impressed with you, and He will not only forgive the few sins that you do have, but He will reward your obedience with earthly wealth and prosperity. Therefore, because the Jews thought of God and salvation in that way, they would look at a rich Jew and they would assume that he was good and that he had impressed God. I mean, why else would he be rich if God was not rewarding him for his good works? In the same way, they would look at a poor Jew and they would assume that he was a sinner who was being punished by God. Because, obviously, why else would he be poor if God was not somehow punishing him? Well, now we're ready to understand the point of Jesus' story. And how Jesus' story completely shocked the people of his day. Jesus begins his story with these words. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. Now, in our culture, we'd assume that this was the bad guy, right? Not in Jesus' culture. Not in that day. You see, when the rich people heard Jesus mention a rich man, they assumed that this rich man was the good guy. Remember, according to their way of thinking, if you've been a good person and if you've impressed God, then He rewards you with earthly riches and prosperity. So this rich man must have been a really good guy. That's what the people were thinking. He's the hero of the story. That's what they were thinking. Jesus then says the following. At the rich man's gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Now in our culture we think here's the hero of the story. He's the good guy. You know, God loves you if you're poor, because you know if you're poor you deserve to go to heaven. That's how people today think. But that's not how they thought back then. When the people heard Jesus mention the poor man, they assumed that the poor man was the bad guy. Because obviously he must have done something to make God hate him. That's why he's poor and sick. Remember, according to their way of thinking, if you've sinned one too many times, then God turns his back on you and punishes you in this life. And one of the ways he might punish you is with poverty and illness. But then, what Jesus says next shocks everybody who was listening to the story. Listen to what Jesus says. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Wow! What a surprise! The rich man, who was supposed to be the good guy, he dies and ends up in hell. Or more accurately, the translation should be Hades, or the prison, which was the place where the spirits of unbelievers go until the resurrection and judgment on the final day. But what about the poor man? The poor man named Lazarus. He was supposed to be the bad guy, but when he dies, he's carried to Abraham's side, or another name for that is paradise. The place where the spirits of believers go until the resurrection and judgment on the final day. Remember what Jesus said to that repentant thief on the cross? He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," or Abraham's side. Same thing. Well, what are we to make of this? Well, I have two important observations to make at this point, so please pay attention. Here's the first observation. When you die, you are either with the Lord or you are separated from Him. There's no in-between place. There's no purgatory. You're either with the Lord or you're with the devil. So if you die as a believer who trusts in Jesus alone for salvation, you know you will be with the Lord when you die. And when Jesus returns, your spirit will be joined to your resurrected body, and you will spend eternity with God, because you lived and died trusting in Jesus alone for salvation. However, if you die as an unbeliever who does not trust in Jesus alone for salvation, then your eternal fate is already sealed as well. When Jesus returns, the spirits of unbelievers will join their resurrected bodies, only to be cast into eternal hell with the devil and his angels. Now here's the second observation. Did you notice that in this story, Jesus does not give the rich man a name? The poor man has a name. His name is Lazarus. But Jesus never mentions the rich man's name. Why not? Well, one possibility is that Jesus is here driving home the point that when people who live and die as unbelievers eventually stand before God on the final day, you know what he's going to say to them? I never knew you. In contrast, God knows those who live and die trusting in Jesus. In fact, do you know what the name Lazarus actually means? The name Lazarus means, God is my helper. Well, now we're ready to continue with Jesus' story, which has some interesting stuff, let me tell you. Jesus says, so the rich man called to Father Abraham. He said, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. So what are we being taught in this part of the story? Two things. First of all, this is not about class warfare. This is not about being rich is bad, being poor is good. Instead, Jesus is stressing that earthly riches or poverty has nothing to do with your relationship with God and where you will spend eternity. That was the lie that Jesus is refuting in his day. For example, Abraham points out to the rich man that even though he had prosperity in this world, which, remember, was supposedly a sign that he was favored by God, nevertheless, when he dies, he ends up in hell separated from God. In contrast, even though Lazarus had poverty and sickness in this life, and remember, according to their way of thinking, that was supposedly a sign that he had done some horrible sin and was cursed by God. Nevertheless, when Lazarus dies, he ends up in paradise with God. So your economic status in this life has nothing to do with your spiritual state. Here's the second thing we learn from this section of the story. Abraham teaches us that there are no second chances after physical death. You can't go from heaven to hell or from hell to heaven. If you die as an unbeliever, you will spend eternity separated from God. If you die as a believer, you will spend eternity with God. With that understood, listen carefully now to the next part of Jesus' story. The rich man answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not come to this place of torment. Now, it sounds like the rich man has actually had a change of heart. He wants his brothers to hear the truth and be saved, right? However, in just a bit, we will see that this rich man's heart is just as closed to the truth as it has always been. In fact, this rich man's request of Abraham actually conceals an unspoken complaint. You see, here's what the rich man was probably thinking. He was saying, give my brothers a warning, Abraham. You know, the warning I never had, Abraham. That's right, you heard me, Abraham. If I had been given some sort of warning, I would not have ended up in this place. It's not really fair that I'm here, Abraham. You didn't warn me. But listen to what Abraham says to the rich man. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. Do you see what Abraham is doing here? Abraham hears the unspoken complaint of this rich man who thinks that he never had a warning. Abraham tells him that his brothers only need to listen to Moses and the prophets and they will be saved. By the way, the same Moses and the prophets that the rich man had heard numerous times throughout his life but failed to believe it. So, that leads to a question. What do Moses and the prophets have to say that can result in our salvation? Simply put, Moses and the prophets, which is the whole Old Testament, they teach that we are all sinners who deserve nothing but God's present and eternal punishment. That's right, according to Scripture, if we got what we deserved, we'd all be in hell with the rich man. I don't care what your economic status is. But the same God who has every right to damn us sinners chooses to be our helper. God promised to send a Savior in the world, a Savior who would help us sinners by suffering the damnation we deserve so that we might be forgiven and live forever with God. Of course, here's the catch. This promised Savior can't help you if you are deluded by the lie that God only helps those who are worthy of His help. The Pharisees refused to confess their sins. They refused to trust in Jesus because they were convinced that they were their own helpers. They had helped themselves to salvation by obeying God's laws, supposedly, and therefore they supposedly earned God's favor and earthly blessing, not to mention, they thought, eternal life. But as long as they were deluded by this lie, they could not receive God's help in Jesus. So now you know why Abraham said what he did. Remember, Jesus is telling this story to the Pharisees who are rejecting him. All this rich man's brothers needed to do is listen to Moses and the prophets, which point us ahead to Jesus, the Savior and helper of sinners. But how does the rich man respond to Abraham's statement? He responds as we would expect an unbeliever to respond. He says the following, "No, Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Did you hear what the rich man said? He said no. He said no to Moses and the prophets. He said no to God's word. And that's sadly the case today. Many people today want to be spiritual. They want to have relationship with God, whatever God might mean in their mind. But when it comes to actually hearing God's word and taking it in seriously, no, I don't want anything to do with that nonsense, but I want to be spiritual. I want to have a relationship with God. But I don't want to have to come to church and actually hear God's word and believe it. The rich man doesn't care about Holy Scripture, nor do his brothers. Therefore, this rich man wants Abraham to give his brothers some other sign. He wants Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead to warn his brothers. That should do the trick, he thinks. But now listen to how Abraham responds to this nonsense. He says, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Did you hear that? Abraham gets down to the real issue here. Unbelievers who refuse to believe God's word will not believe in Jesus even if someone does rise from the dead. Think about it. Jesus had been teaching how all Holy Scripture points to Him. But many, especially the Pharisees, refused to believe it. But even after Jesus Himself rose from the dead, they still would not repent and believe. You see, if we refuse to believe what God's Word says about our sin, if we refuse to believe what God's Word says about Jesus being our only helper, if we refuse to believe this teaching of Scripture, then no miracle, no matter how awesome, is going to convince us. So ends Jesus' story. Now, how does it apply to you? Well, have you ever played around with the lie that God is impressed with your good works? Have you ever thought that your earthly health and wealth is something you deserve? Maybe even a sign from God that He's pleased with your good behavior? Have you ever justified your greed and your selfishness because you thought that you actually deserve God's blessings, whereas others do not? You know the attitude. Why should I give to that charity? Those people are probably poor because they did something wrong. I deserve my money. If that's ever been your attitude, then you need to repent and listen to Moses and the prophets. My friends, we Americans have been blessed with amazing wealth and prosperity. As I said earlier, even Americans on welfare are filthy rich compared with many people in this world. Now, what would the devil like us to think? The devil would like us to think that we have all this blessing because we are somehow special and better than other people. But don't believe that evil lie for a second. Moses and the prophets, as well as the teaching of Jesus' apostles in the New Testament, all of Scripture clearly teaches that our economic status has nothing, nothing, nothing to do with our relationship with God. Instead, whether you're rich or poor or somewhere in between, Scripture teaches that you are a sinner who deserves nothing from God but His present and eternal punishment. But God loved you so much that He sent His one and only Son into this world to be damned in your place, that you might be forgiven and live now and forever as God's dearly loved child. However, as long as you're duped by the lie that you can help yourself with your salvation by being good, as long as you're duped by the lie that your earthly riches are a sign from God that He's impressed with your good works, or in our day, if you're duped by the lie that if you're poor, that automatically means that God loves you, same lie, as long as you believe this lie, God can't help you. And nothing will convince you otherwise. That's why Jesus told us this story today. Jesus told you this story today so that you won't suffer the fate of that unnamed rich man. You see, Jesus has called you by name. He put His name on you in holy baptism. But even more, He wants you to know that we could all have just one name, Lazarus. God is my helper. Some of us here today have been blessed with good income, and we have plenty of material possessions as well. Others here today don't have much money at all. You might live paycheck to paycheck. You might even get government assistance. Still others here today are probably somewhere in between that economic spectrum. But you know what? It doesn't matter. What matters is that you realize that you are a helpless sinner, and that God calls you to believe Moses and the prophets, so that just like Lazarus, you can live and die knowing that you are forgiven and have the certain hope of eternal life because God, through Jesus, is your helper. Here's the good news I want to leave you with today, my friends. Jesus is your helper. Because of Jesus, you are forgiven. Because of Jesus, you can face death knowing that you will live forever with God. Because of Jesus, you can go through this life, whether you're rich or poor or somewhere in between, you can go through this life and know for certain where you stand with God, because you know that your standing with God has nothing to do with your circumstances and has everything to do with your faith in Jesus, who is your helper. Because of Jesus, you can view whatever money or possessions you have as undeserved gifts of a merciful God. That's right, once you understand that you're saved through faith in Jesus alone, that changes the way you look at your earthly possessions. When you realize that you're an unworthy sinner who's saved by grace alone through Jesus, you begin to view everything in life as what it really is, an undeserved gift of God's grace. Because of Jesus, you are free to use the money and possessions God has given you not only to meet your own needs, but also to help those who are truly needy. And when you do that, you don't pat yourself on the back for it, but instead you give all the glory to God for the privilege of being able to do that. That's how the good news of Jesus changes the way you look at life and giving. We have this whole new way of thinking. We have this certainty of salvation, all because of Jesus, our great, awesome helper. My friends, God knows you by name. We all have different names, but we could all really only have just one name: Lazarus. God is my helper. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.